Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Happy Friday, Cleveland. Plenty going on throughout the day. Guardians going to be in action here very shortly. Take it on the Astros in what is a riveting lineup. And absolutely, I mean, I've never seen a team try to compete so hard. I've never seen a team try to win so much that they throw Dom Nunes in a lineup. We got Dominic Clary on the board. We might as well throw Dom in the lineup if we're throwing Dom Nunes in there. I mean, we got a good chance. But plenty happened as well. More on Aaron Rodgers, Browns OTAs, NBA Finals happening as well. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here from 7 to 11 with overtime. We have Dominic Clary running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Anthony Allant with us tonight. I think the only way to start this is to circle back where we were yesterday. The Indiana Pacers do indeed have devil magic. I don't know what to tell you guys. It's pure devil magic. There's no way that anything that the Pacers do should actually end the way that it ends, but indeed it does. I mean, I made a joke walking out of the studio. I looked up at the... We were walking out of the show last night as we wrapped up right around 11 o'clock. I look up at the TV. There's about 3 minutes left in the game. It's a 7-point game, I believe. And I look at Jackson. I go... Plenty of time and a low enough score for something crazy to happen. He goes, sure is, by the time that I'm pulling out of the parking garage to go home. It had been completed. It was just like, it was complete poetry in motion. I just have no clue what to think. I mean, everybody we talked to NBA-wise, Greg Swartz, Danny Cunningham, even dating back to last week, we're having conversations, and everybody's saying, oh, it's going to be the Thunder, right? Hey, this is the Thunder. They're going to be a dynasty. Thunder in 5, Thunder in 6. And now it feels like there's almost a change of tone, a change of predictions that needs to happen. And rightfully so, because these teams are, I don't know. There's nothing on paper that tells me that it should be just a guarantee that the Pacers are knocked out or that they should be winning, excuse me. They probably should be knocked out. The Thunder have been the better team, but it's a team of destiny right now. I have no clue where to go. But watching the game last night and just watching the way that the Pacers closed things out and listening to most of it as I walked to my car, got into my car, and got ready to go home. But it tells you basically exactly what the Cavs actually need to do to figure things out this offseason. And that's going through and making sure that you have players that live up to the moment. Because the Pacers have been good. The Pacers have not been, for the entirety of four quarters, for the every game that they've played, they have not been great. They hold teams within striking distance. That's all they've done. At least one time a series. And usually pretty early on in that series. It's like, all right, we're not playing our best brand of basketball, but we're making sure that we're ready to be in a place to attack. And then, oh, Aaron Nesmith, Tyrese Halliburton, are just absolute fourth quarter killers. These guys have risen to the occasion over and over and over again in a way that I think now you look at the Cavaliers and say, sure, we'd like to be the team building that lead, but it's also going to be a team where we look at it and say, we're going to need somebody that closes out and is able to complete things like that, is able to put our team on a trajectory to match that. That way, even if we do go out and build the lead, you can fight it off, you can handle it, and you can respond in kind and perform in the fourth quarter. I think Donovan fits that billing. I'd like to think at some point Evan Mobley fits that billing, and he's not going anywhere. But it's also looking at this roster, and I think where you talk about shaking up the core four and making a move, where it leads you further and further away from trading Darius Garland. Because in terms of the Cavs, he was Mr. Clutch this year. And a lot of times where you would turn late in the games and give the ball to Donovan, the actual efficient player, the guy that was doing things as it needed to be done, was Darius Garland. And it seems like now every time we have a conversation, Jared Allen's the odd man out. Jared Allen's the odd man out. Everybody that we talk to, and I hear more and more, don't trade Darius Garland. Right? Because of everything that he does, I think it makes sense to sort of just leave him in the mix. It feels like every time we talk about a trade, it's not enough in return. Every time we look at trying to get what Darius does back in another form, oh, well, that guy's not going to do it as well as Darius does. Or we're not getting enough in a separate area to even warrant taking that step back. Darius played out of his mind this year in the regular season. He was an all-star, and rightfully so, and you've paid the guy. I think financially, moving on from Darius makes a ton of sense and frees up a lot of the things that you want to do. But from the players that we expect to be available and the players that we think actually help make a difference, I don't know that there's a ton of them out there to go and replace Darius Garland that actually make the Cavs better. Because everything that I've learned from watching the Pacers through their Eastern Conference run and watching the Thunder through their Western Conference run is that these teams, they thrive off of just a couple of things. Yes, the star talent is there. They rely on their top players to be able to score points for them. SGA has to help lead the team. Chet Holmgren has to help lead the team for the Thunder. And it's Tyrese Haliburton and it's Miles Turner and Aaron Nesmith for the other side. Pascal Siakam as well. But it really does come down to, okay, well, how effective has the bench been? Which I think the Cavs are relatively close, and that's what we've been hearing as well. But there's some tweaks and adjustments to be made there. Right? You're probably moving on from Isaac Okoro, potentially moving on from Dean Wade, and getting guys who are solidified in their role and know what their role is. One of the main problems with Dean Wade is that you ask him to be a do-it-all guy off the bench. Well, most of these great teams don't have do-it-all guys off the bench. Your do-it-all guys are the ones that are starting and playing 30 to 35 minutes for you. Why would they be the ones coming off of the bench? No, Dean Wade should be either, you know, a 3-4 sort of forward combo or a backup big. It feels like you're asking him to do one or the other every single night and play a different role. One night he has to be a rebounder and a screener, and the next night he needs to be efficient from shooting beyond the arc. And I think they've sort of worked him into that corner where, okay, he's going to be willing to do whatever it is that you ask of him. You shouldn't have to be asking that of Dean Wade. It needs to be structured roles off the bench. Everybody needs to know what job they have. It's part of getting a backup big, part of helping solidify the defense off the bench like the Thunder have, like the Pacers have. So getting those known roles, being able to perform in the fourth quarter is another thing that both teams have just figured out. How to be a closeout team towards the end of games. Obviously, the Thunder don't go through and show that in game one of the finals, but I think, of course, you see it from the Pacers, and you've seen it at different times from the Thunder. And I'm sure you'll see it at times in this finals iteration that we're watching that the Thunder go through and do what they need to do as well. But it's those type of adjustments that the Cavs need to make. It's not, oh, well, you have Darius Garland, and he's just not good enough. We need more talent. We need more star talent. We need a ton of guys off the bench that only other teams could offer. I don't know that that's true. I think through marginal moves, you could get a team that makes a lot of sense. It's about trying to move off of those pieces that don't fit and trying to get the most out of guys that you know you can. I think part of that relies on calling up from a Jalen Tyson and calling on a Craig Porter Jr. to know their role and not step outside of it and have more defined roles. The Cavs are not all that far off. But if they run it back the exact same way that they did this year and they expect things to move just as smoothly, you shouldn't be expecting a different result. Things are going to just get harder and harder. The Pacers are going to be a team that's able to operate very similarly to the way that they did this year going into next year. They're not going to have to make a ton of adjustments. The Thunder don't have to make a ton of adjustments. It's on the Cavs to adjust and tweak what they have. If that includes trading Jared Allen, sure. But I'm telling you right now, it probably should not include trading Darius Garland. I think he provides everything it is that you're looking for. It's just whether or not he shows up and lives up to the moment. And that comes back to the mental toughness that we've sat here and talked about for the entirety of the offseason since the Cavs were eliminated. It comes down to, hey, are you able to go out there and be mentally tough? Can you actually show up when we get to the playoffs? I'd love to see healthy Darius Garland. I need to see healthy Darius Garland before I decide to make that move. I'm not telling you he's untouchable, because that's not true. You get the right deal, you'd be willing to move him, but I don't think that the right deal is coming. Every trade that we've looked at has been subpar. But the Pacers have operated in such a way, and the Thunder have operated in such a way, and watching them make this run, I think you have to take away things if you're the Cavs. If you're watching the NBA playoffs right now and just stewing in Cavs frustration and not taking things away from it, I think you're missing the point. The Cavs need to learn from the experience that they just had and what the teams that are doing better than them have already started to do. And it's starts with, hey, probably not moving off of the guy that's one of your top scorers and one of the guys that does have a defined role on your team. And a large one at that, a guy that you call on pretty darn often to step up in the big moments. It's not the guy that you want to lean off of. It's the guys that don't have the defined roles. Like I said, the Isaac Okoros, who just don't perform in the playoffs. Dean Wade with no defined role. Jared Allen, when he gets to the playoffs, had no defined role. Those are the type of guys that you don't need to see. The Cavs need to become structured. The Cavs need to become organized. Watching these teams, it does open your eyes and I think make you sort of keen to the fact that when you got to the playoffs, the Cavs were dysfunctional. They were disorganized. And part of that had to do with a team suffering through injuries and several of them and trying to make it work. But everybody was trying to do everything at some point. You had to call on Ty Jerome to be a primary ball handler and a star guard alongside of Donovan Mitchell. That's not his role. And if he's back with the Cavaliers, that absolutely should not be his role. It needs to be a structure.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Offense in a structured team heading into the playoffs. They found part of it with the regular season, but when you make that adjustment, when you shrink the lineup, I think that's when the team needs to show the most structure. When you decide, oh, we're not playing 10 to 11 guys anymore. You know what? We're only playing nine. And if that's what you want to do, you need to come away with that fact and realize, oh, we still need to have the structure. If we're not going to play Sam Merrill, somebody else needs to be the three-point shooter. We need that guy in our lineup to be effective. And I think the Cavs are completely capable of finding it. 216-474-0092. Have you taken away the same things that I have from watching the NBA Finals in Game 1 in the pass of both teams to get here? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C. Jake, swing into our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty coming up for you guys tonight. As always, at 7:40, we're going to get to the station buzz before talking to Jeff Hathorn of 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Coming up at 8:20, Aaron Rodgers in town. What does he feel the impact and the changes now heading into an AFC North season? Get a grip as we always do at 9 o'clock. We'll bring in Anthony Allant later on in the show as well for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Have you taken away the same things that I have since watching the NBA Finals and a look at a Cavs offseason? What is successful and what is unsuccessful? It's coming up in about 5 minutes, as well as your calls right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys until 11 on The Fan. Because I think a lot of the adjustments for the Cavs are very clear. I think that you could tell from watching one series to another, even just the entire Cavs season to another, right? It's a little different because you were running like 10, at times even like 11 deep, it felt like, through the entirety of the regular season. But it does sort of come down to, all right, well, what did your bench look like in the playoffs? Which I think you're definitely a little short and not operate the way that you wanted. And part of that was being injured, and part of that was just, I don't think that the guys had defined roles. Again, you had Ty Jerome trying to do everything, trying to outplay probably what he's capable of, and that's fine. There's limitations to it, and I think you're also looking at a few guys that just weren't getting in the game, that had played key roles all year long, that had done things for you that you needed in those types of moments, like Dean Wade not playing, Sam Merrill not playing. Okay, well, you relied on the three-point shooting of, I mean, both of those guys at separate points to help you out. And Dean Wade's length and ability to rebound to help you out. And it had all of a sudden turned, oh, well, we really need that out of Evan Mobley, who was hurt, and Jared Allen, who had disappeared in the playoffs. I just think the answers are pretty glaring from watching teams that have been successful this year and the Cavs who fluttered out in the second round of the NBA playoffs. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. BP is in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How about you, man?
I'm doing good. You know, I was watching the NBA Finals, and, you know, obviously there was a lot of similarities to the Cavs, you know, the way we lost to Indiana to the way Indiana beat Oklahoma City yesterday. And, you know, I thought Oklahoma City made a huge mistake to start the series and start the game. They benched Hartenstein and they, you know, brought in a smaller guy, Cason Wallace. And to me, that kind of correlates with the Cavs. It's almost like if the Cavs decided to move away from Jared Allen and they would just start Mobley. See, I'm against trading Jared Allen because, first of all, he makes a really modest salary nowadays for a, you know, for an almost all-star player. He's on the books next year for $20 million. But I really like having, you know, like I think Oklahoma missed out on having Hartenstein last night. You know, he played only like 17 minutes. He really was ineffective once they benched him. And I think that hurt Oklahoma City. In fact, Holmgren also didn't play well. So that really, to me, I don't want to weaken the core four, I think, is a good thing. I think you were getting to the point where I think the Cavs, I've said this for months now, they needed to have a backup center. Like, look at Indiana last night. They had Thomas Bryant. This guy's hitting threes, you know. We could have picked him up in December from Miami, but we didn't. But that was a fatal flaw, that the Cavs didn't have a legit, you know, solid backup center. They don't need, you know, Shaquille O'Neal in his prime, but just somebody to eat up 10 or 15 minutes. And also when, you know, if Jared Allen gets hurt or if Mobley gets hurt, but also, you know, spell the guys, like, you know, in game two when Mobley was out. So I did, there's some similarities. That's why I think this is fascinating to see what happens, you know. I still think Oklahoma City is going to win this series, but now, you know, we've got a real, real, you know, series here, you know, with Indiana winning again. Like, again, they upset, you know, they were down by almost 20 points, just like against the Cavs, and they came back and, you know, they won the shot. You know, Halliburton's done this now, you know, four times or maybe four or five times this season in the playoffs. So, you know, I don't want to just give away Jared Allen just to pacify, you know, some fans and just to blame him, you know. The Cavs losing to Indiana was like an entire organization loss. The front office had some play in it, coaching staff, and of course the players and also the injuries. So, you know, to me, I want to run, I think after thinking about this for a couple weeks now, I just want to run back the core forward, bring in a backup center and maybe like, you know, like a power forward, like a Trey Lyles or, you know, Valanciunas, you know, these type of guys, or Steven Adams, or, you know, Mo Bamba, Larry Nance Jr., like sprinkle in those type of guys with the core four, and then, of course, the guys like Max Strus, DeAndre Hunter, and Ty Jerome and Merrill. What do you think of that?
Hey, yeah, BP, I think it makes a lot of sense, and I appreciate the call. I think that for me, so when I go to not running back to the core four and likely moving off of Allen to shake it up, because I was initially more so in the line of, well, I don't think you really need to move on from the core four. But after sitting on it, thinking about it, and talking to some of the great people we have in town that cover the team, I think I have swung a little bit more in the direction of being able to move off of Jared Allen, and not because I'm finger pointing to Jared Allen being bad in the playoffs and that it's all his fault. He was bad, but that series did not lie in Jared Allen's hands. You were not winning that series with or without Jared Allen. I think for me, it comes down to a couple of things. One, I need guys that are going to show up in the playoffs and you're going to show up and perform. So far, that has not been Jared Allen. Two, for me, financial flexibility is huge. So I want the Cavs to be able to actually build out their bench a little bit. I think more properly would be the word, or be able to construct it in a way that works better for them and works better for what they want to do. And I think that starts with sort of moving on from, okay, we have Jarrett, then the financial flexibility allows that. I also think part of this isn't really looking at it and saying, okay, we need to be bigger in general. I think you need to be bigger sort of in the margins. Like, yes, Jared Allen's great. And walking, if they played a defensive style that was, all right, close out hard on threes, force them in and tunnel them in to Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, that's great. The problem is a lot of these teams and the best teams that we're watching right now in the NBA Finals run a five-out type of lineup more often than not. And I think that's why you saw Isaiah Hartenstein not be in the lineup for Oklahoma City, because Miles Turner can shoot. Hartenstein does not do great defending on the perimeter. That's not his strength. So you had to get a little bit of smaller. You had to be able to guard the perimeter. So I think part of this goes to, I'd like you to be bigger, again, as I'm going to describe it, sort of in the margins of looking at guys across the board and making the lineup bigger, not just by plugging in another 7-footer, but by looking at, okay, I need to get a backup guard that probably exceeds 6'4", 6'5". I need to get a 6'6 type of guy in there that can handle the basketball and can help lead the second unit. okay, I need my sort of 2-3, my wing combos to be guys that can shoot the basketball and also have some defensive presence to them. True 3-and-D type guys, because there are defensive players in the NBA that can shoot the three that aren't going to cost you an arm and a leg. Right, not everybody needs to be, Harrison Smith. Why did I go there? Harrison Barnes. You don't want it to be Harrison Smith. That's not going to help you. Harrison Barnes of looking and trying to find a guy that's going to cost you again like double digit millions of dollars. No, it doesn't have to be that. Sure, those guys are going to cost a little bit, but part of it's finding who you have and being able to transition and make guys play like that. And part of it's just being able to identify when those guys are available and pay those guys when they come along. You tried to get it with an Isaac Okoro. He's a great example of what you want out of that type of player, of a guy that should be able to help you, that marginal type of player, but he can't shoot the three well enough, so he's not useful enough to you. I think that's sort of what it boils down to. Again, 216-474-0092. Steven's in Cleveland. What's going on, Steven?
You know, I just have a couple questions maybe you can clear up for me.
Yeah, what's going on?
We won the division, number one. What was the Pacers seed? Weren't they number six?
Coming out of the conference, the Pacers are four.
Four. And I remember the morning show mentioning something like about, why are we playing so hard towards the end? Why are we not resting these guys? So when the time comes, they can be 100, even though they're athletes, yes. But why are we going for a, the bunny prize, you know, the division, division champs. It doesn't make sense to me. I blame the coach for that. Second question, watching these playoffs between Indiana Timberwolves and the Knicks, Big Cat, where in this world, it's almost delusional that you think that this kid that we have in the middle, who is as skinny as a skinny kid, is going to go up against Big Cat. And there's no way. And maybe in a couple years, when he puts on 30 pounds of muscle. But these guys are beasts out there. They're banging. They're getting two-on-ones, you know, getting blocked out two-on-one on the free throws. I don't see this center being anything. Yeah, he's defensive player of the year. Where did that get us? Nowhere. Jared Allen didn't show up. Garland, we're still hoping that, you know, he's going to turn into the player that we want him to be, but he's never turned into that. And we're going to pay him and get ourselves stuck in that hole.
Yeah, and I feel where you're going, Steven. I appreciate the call. I didn't know the Knicks had Big Cat. I think that's what I took away from this. I thought Big Cat was playing over at Barstool. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't think, one, Evan Mobley has a tremendous upwards trend to where he's going, but the Cavs did rest players. They did. I mean, they were resting players left and right. I know people that were complaining. They were complaining about the Cavs taking load management days before they had locked in the one seed. I feel like this team did do the proper thing, were able to rest their players. And sure, you can make the argument that coming back on a lot of it, maybe they didn't do what they needed to do down the stretch. I think you make the argument maybe the guys needed to be playing. They didn't get hurt because they were out there and not resting towards the end of the regular season, though. They got hurt because there were freak things that happened to them. Benedict Mathurin smashed in the thumb of DeAndre Hunter. That had nothing to do with how much you were playing. Evan Mobley got closed out on, rolled his ankle. That wasn't due to how much you were playing. And Darius Garland was on a odd closeout where he ends up jamming his toe. Again, those are all things that are not overuse injuries. Donovan could be an overuse injury, but he played way less than he did last year. I don't know if you could have rested him any more than you already have. I think it boils down, again, to looking at this and saying, I don't think there were individual things looking at last season that you can go, oh, in the regular season, they weren't good enough. They didn't do this well enough. They didn't prepare themselves for the playoffs. Like, in terms of health, in terms of body, that team was more than prepared for a playoff matchup and a playoff run to go deep. Injuries sprung up on them, and that's going to happen, and you have to be able to learn how to adjust to that. But it is a structural difference that needs to happen within this team. And maybe that can happen with keeping the core four together. I think it's a heck of a lot easier when you split the core four up and you don't have to go back to that. But yeah, it's not going to boil down to anything that Kenny Atkinson did. You're going to see a leash with Kenny Atkinson that's a lot longer than a lot of the coaches around the NBA. I mean, for crying out loud, we have already had one of his assistants hired as a head coach. Another one is a finalist, also a chance to be hired as a head coach. Like, there's too much here that works if you're looking at what the Cavs have done and what they're able to do. It's more minor adjustments. It's changes within the margins. And yes, maybe you can shake up the core four. Maybe moving on from Jared Allen is one of the adjustments made. But it's more about your role players. It's more about guys living up to the moment and performing in the fourth quarter. I'm not just pinning that on everybody that we've seen up to this point. The Pacers were better. And I don't know so much about the Knicks. I'm just saying. I don't know. Dom, what was it like watching Big Cat all year? What was it like? Steven said you guys had Big Cat and that Evan Mobley couldn't match up with him.
What did you say? I was doing something on the computer.
I said, what was it like to have Big Cat all year?
Big Cat?
Yeah, that's what Steven said. He said Evan Mobley can't match up with Big Cat over on the Knicks.
You mean Karl Anthony Towns, the Bodega Cat?
I mean something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I like him. I just he could play better defense. You know, he's frustrating watch. I like Evan Mobley a little bit better. I'm not gonna lie to you, but
I think I do too.
But I also think Cat has a lot more firepower. The problem is you never know when you're gonna get it, and you also know if Mobley gets switched on to Halliburton. He might get a block or at least, you know, put a hand in his face and not skate backwards.
So are we calling Darius Garland PFT because he's short and undersized?
I mean, as long as he grows out his hair long enough, right? I think it's fitting. I mean, he does rock the dread. So, yeah, I think so.
Did I misread this conversation?
It was during Steven's call. Yeah, he called Karl Anthony Towns Big Cat. And now I think that's fair to call Darius PFT.
Okay.
Well, that means we could be breaking up the entire Barstool gang. Right? Do we really? I mean, now we have to kind of keep it together. Do we have to go get Karl Anthony Towns? I heard he's available for trade, Dom.
Yeah, if you have Giannis on your team or Kevin Durant.
I have Evan Mobley.
I don't think you want him.
No, I don't want Karl Anthony Towns at all.
I feel like you would need a lot for that trade to happen and draft compensation New York doesn't have.
No, you definitely don't have it. Either do we or the money.
No.
Both deals never get done.
That contract wouldn't line up either.
No, yeah, not even close. No, I don't want Karl Anthony Towns. I was just trying to keep the Barstool group together. I was just trying to get them together. At least they're going to stay in the East, maybe. That'll be good. All right. 216-474-0092. If you guys want to jump in. But the station buzz coming your way here in about 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on the Fan. Nice and in there. Hey, Raj, you happy? Shaking your head no, not happy.
Not at all. No. Give me Mason Rudolph and Will Howard and call it a day and tank.
I'm very interested to hear what Jeff has to say, whether or not that he feels the rest of Pittsburgh aligns with what you're thinking. I have a feeling they kind of do. I do have that odd feeling if they could just stop going for one-year wonders where they're not going to win a playoff game. But again, that's coming up at 8:20. But before we get there, I want to get to the most pressing things said by our station's guest today. So let's do it with the station buzz. All right, kicking things off, we'll start in the world of basketball. Jimmy Watkins of Cleveland.com on today with Nick and JP and gave his reasoning, a little bit different, why the Cavs should break up the core four.
The Cavs' contention window exists as long as Donovan Mitchell is on the team. This team needs to show proof of concept way sooner than later. And there are not too many avenues to improvement besides breaking off a piece here. Like trading Isaac Okoro, what's that going to get you? Trading Dean Wade, what's that going to get you? Even trading Jared Allen, what is the? I mean, Jared Allen is a very nice NBA player that I think fits on 30 out of 30 teams. But I think the center position, if you don't shoot threes, has become devalued to a point where the Cavs can't just be trading one useful rotation player for another.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, Jimmy's got it right. I'm not all for, throwing, again, Darius Garland to the wind, but you're not going to get anything just by, oh, well, we moved off of Isaac Okoro, other than, hey, look, guys, we're not in the second apron anymore. Now we can make an actual trade. That's what you get. You're not getting anything for just trying to trade, I don't know, pick your player. Like, if you try to trade Dean Wade for a different piece, that's not going to be the thing that pushes this team over the edge. Yes, I just told you, the bench is a massive place where the Cavs can improve and where I think they can make a lot of their incremental adjustments. But ultimately, you need to be playoff performers. That's the bigger thing. Like, the bench is important, but being a playoff performer and being guys that show up in the fourth quarter of games is the biggest part of what could happen and where you can make your massive strides. And, well, Jared Allen, quite frankly, hasn't done either of those things. He's played okay in a couple of fourth quarters in the regular season. They get to the playoffs, that man disappears. I don't know if it's coaching and the way he's been used, but he's not been good and has not played an impactful role for every year that we've seen him in a postseason. So I'm going to go with a no thank you. We can move on. Speaking of moving on, let's move on to Daryl Ryder, our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter on this morning with Ken and Anthony. I almost forgot.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dom almost forgot. We're almost getting there. Patience. Daryl Ryder on this morning with Ken and Anthony. And, Daryl talked about how the Cavs would have matched up with some of the other teams. Knicks, Thunder, Pacers. Here we go.
there are three teams, one they didn't beat, and two more teams that I don't think, looking back on things, they would have beaten. I don't think they would have beaten the Knicks, and even if they would have gotten through the Eastern Conference, I don't think they would have beaten the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's just a different style of play for those three teams, and I don't think that the Cavaliers would have matched up with New York or the Thunder. Now that we saw what happened against the Pacers, you got a great regular season team, but now the challenge is for Kobe Altman to come up with moves that can position this organization to compete for an NBA championship.
Okay. The only part I hate about this is we just negate the fact that there were three major players injured for the Cavs. But we saw the way they played against the Pacers. I'm sorry. The New York Knicks were not the Indiana Pacers. The New York Knicks got the exact same treatment that the Cleveland Cavaliers got. It was like, oh, the Pacers. This will be a team we can beat. Oh my God, it's the Pacers. The same treatment that Oklahoma City got in game one. Now, I still think the Thunder are going to win the series, I'll be honest. But same treatment you got there. It's like, oh, the Pacers. And with each series they went through, it was like a little bit more respect. It's like, okay, well, we kind of expect you to take down Milwaukee. And then you took down the Cavs. It's like, oh my gosh. All right, we'll go play the Knicks. And again, everyone in New York was like, ah, we're not going to lose to Indiana. Right? We already lost to them once. We've learned our lesson. And then Indiana continued to do what Indiana does. And now, even with the utmost respect, hey, this team just came out of the East. They still managed to do it to the Thunder. I think the Cavs would have matched up a lot better against the Knicks than they would have against the Pacers. I'm pretty confident that a healthy Cavs team probably could have taken down the Knicks. I don't know about the Thunder. I think you probably lose that series. But yeah, the Knicks were not scaring me in any way, shape, or form. Healthy Pacers team, they'll still think that would have been a major problem. The Knicks were not the issue. That was not the thing that would have stopped you from going to the finals. For me, it was get past the Pacers, and I'm not going to say waltz. It would have been a series, but I think you still take down the Knicks. Keeping it going with this morning, Nathan Zagura of the Browns Radio Network, talking a little bit of Browns with the OTA changes from last year to this year.
This is a completely different OTA than we've seen with the Cleveland Browns in recent years. The number of reps, the intensity of rep, all of it. I think having these quarterbacks is kind of spurring that on. Maybe not from the intensity standpoint, but the number to get all the work. So you're having a team that's getting a lot more work out of their OTAs than they have in the past. And I'm telling you this right now because I've talked about it with numerous coaches on this team. You're going to see, fans, when you come to training camp this year, longer, harder, more demanding training camp practices than you've seen in recent years from the Cleveland Browns.
This is something that I feel like a team should always have. It almost makes it sound like, I don't know if this was Nathan's intention, so I'm not trying to put words in his mouth here, but it makes it sound like OTAs previously were, I don't know, maybe a little bit soft, right? Mini camps were maybe a little bit soft. Should there not be competition at every time? Like, there should have been competitive spots on that roster, and you should be challenging guys to get better. I know that Andrew Berry hasn't had the best drafts. But should rookies not be pressing these veteran players, even the ones who feel pretty secure, to try and get a little bit of play time, try to move their way up the depth chart? It shouldn't be that some of these guys are just, you know, basically moseying along and getting through training camp, trying to get to the regular season. You got to take some hits. You have to go through. You have to continue working. It almost makes you think that Kevin Stefanski is running maybe a little bit too soft of a camp, and now maybe the quarterback spot is the thing that spurs them into actually putting a little effort, putting in a little work. But I don't know what you got complacent over. This team should not have been complacent. You got older, so it's one thing to look at, but you should not be complacent. You weren't good enough to be complacent. You got to be better before you start taking plays off, taking weeks, days, months off during the offseason. Joe Batonio, you sit down there. You're perfectly fine, man, right? Like, you're like a year or two away from retirement. You've put in the work. I know what you're bringing every single season. Just about everybody else, yeah, you can get right into training camp and you can run with the rest of everybody else. You can go through intense drills with the rest of everybody else. Get ready to put on the pads. We're hitting. Every single one of you are taking contact. I like the change coming in for the Browns. And speaking of Stump Mitchell, former Browns running back coach, on with Nick and JP today on Afternoon Drive, and he talked about Jimmy Haslam's involvement with the team while he was there.
I would say the Haslams were involved in all positives. Anything that those players thought they needed, the Haslams and coaches thought they needed in order to be successful, the Haslams, they provided it. Whether it was players, whether it was equipment, whatever, they tried to give us whatever we needed in order to bring a championship to Cleveland.
I mean, is this not what we already expected and we already sort of knew? I think that you can have your negative sort of perceptions about what Jimmy Haslam and the say that he has in the team is probably the way to put this correctly, right? Of the actual football operations. But in terms of what he does from a true ownership standpoint and what you think he should be doing, hey, the owner's job is to provide resources to the team when they need things, whether or not you pay and whether or not you fork up that money. And their ability to, pretty much make a profit in doing so, at least in their own eyes. But everything else, aside from the profit, is what the fans care about. Hey, are you willing to open your checkbook when your GM and your players and your coaches say, we probably need to open the checkbook? That's all Jimmy Haslam's done. I mean, that's been the epitome of his entire time here, especially the last few years. It's been, you need this player? You need the money up front to make the salary cap work? All right, I'll write the check. Guaranteed money to get Deshaun in here, even though it's a failure. Sure, I'll write the check. And I mean, like Stump Mitchell says, it's like, oh, hey, you know, you needed something, even if it's just a piece of equipment. It's an open checkbook. We'll go, we'll pay for it, and we'll make sure you have it if that's what's the difference. They want a championship here. Never questioned whether or not Jimmy Haslam and the Haslam Sports Group want to win a championship. I think they've shown you they're desperate to do so. They do everything in their power. The process, maybe a little messed up. Maybe not the proper way, but it's the same way that I look at, I guess, Jerry Jones, although I think that the Haslams are much more, I don't know, maybe sane in the head would be the proper way to put it when we're talking about Jerry. But Jerry Jones wants to win, probably more than anybody out there. Jerry Jones just doesn't know how to go about winning and how to actually produce that at this point in his life. Let's wrap things up here. Let's talk a little bit of Steelers football, because Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette on with Nick and JP, and he talked about what the fans' reaction is with Aaron Rodgers in town.
I think you're naturally getting a decent amount of folks who, once he's officially part of their team, well, then, you know, you root for the jersey no matter what, and now you start squinting and talking yourself into, well, Mike Tomlin knows a lot more about football than you and me. Like, okay, that's all well and good, but if you came out of last season and went into this offseason thinking Aaron Rodgers was washed, then just have some pride and integrity and carry that with you, even though the Steelers are now getting into bed with him. So, yeah, I talk to so many people here, guys, who just say, why don't we let Mason Rudolph finally get his one big chance? And if it goes great, cool. If it doesn't, we'll draft high next year and maybe finally get our next franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting point from Brian, because I mean, Steelers fans at some point have to get fed up. You have to be done with the constant 8 wins, 9 wins, 10-win seasons that get you nowhere and get you nowhere near a playoff win. Aaron Rodgers, to me, feels like the exact same thing. Nick Wilson might disagree. He says they win the division with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what he's on, but he says they win the division. I'm thinking it probably gets you to like 10, 11 wins, and then you go out and you're pretty much done. You're done for. You're probably not winning a playoff game. And I think that's enough of that. I think they're going to be sick of it by the end of the season. All right. 216-474-0092. It'll do it for the station buzz. Let's talk a little bit more on that fact, though. I think a lot right down the line for Mike Tomlin is attached to the clip from Brian. We'll get into it in 5 minutes here on Overtime with Jake Volnick.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.